And we'll read together from Acts chapter 23 and verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews bandied together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, "Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, "Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee." Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, What is that thou hast to tell me?" And he said, "The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee." So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things unto me." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. We learned last time that the Lord Jesus Christ promised Paul that he would be a witness for the gospel in Rome. Now, you'll remember that Paul is presently in Jerusalem. He has been taken into protective custody by the chief captain, a Roman soldier. He is in a castle, and the Jews are endeavouring to have him taken and killed. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ came to Paul and told him that he would be a witness for the gospel in Jerusalem. Now, for that to happen, Paul must get safely out of Jerusalem. If he is going to preach the gospel in Rome, he has to get safely out of Jerusalem. Do you see my reasoning? I want you to note from this little point that the Lord never reveals every step of our journey to us. But he does give us promises, and he calls us to trust him and have faith in him, even when we do not see the individual steps between where we are right now and where the Lord has promised that we one day will be. Now, it may not be that the Lord tells us that we are going to particularly be a witness for him in Rome. He did that with Paul for particular reasons, as we thought about them last week. But we do know that the Lord has promised that he will take us to heaven. We do not know all the steps between now and then, but we can be confident that the Lord will be faithful to his promise. When Paul heard from his young nephew about the plan to kill him, I'm sure he was nervous. And very often, a fear of the unknown, as well as our confidence in what is known, exists side by side. We trust in the Lord, and yet we feel anxiety at the same time. We believe the promises that he has made, and yet we become doubtful when we see clouds on the horizon that seem to hide those promises or disguise them or cause them to be less clearly seen and comprehended. And it's interesting to note also that Paul was pleased to use the means that was given to him in order to provide some security and help for himself. If the Lord had said to Paul, "Paul, you're going to be a preacher for me in Rome," Paul might have thought to himself, this young man, my nephew, has come and told me that there's 40 people lying in wait for me. But God has said that I will be a preacher for him in Rome. So I won't bother about any of that news that I've just been given. I won't be concerned about the fact that there are 40 people who have taken an oath to kill me. I'll just leave it all to the Lord and he can fix it and sort it out. But that's not what Paul did. Paul took as a gift from God the information that he had been given, and he acted upon it. And so we too are to act with common sense. We are to take the circumstances around them and to interpret them in the best way that we can, and to go along with the things that the Lord provides for us in his providence, in the circumstances of our lives, holding the promises of God in our minds as being the ends to which the Lord will bring us. As I was thinking about this story this morning, I thought to myself, you know, some people might think that these accounts are too violent and full of drama to be suitable for what is supposed to be a children's address. And it is certainly true that Paul had an exciting and a dangerous life. Can you imagine what it must have been like to know that a group of 40 men had sworn to kill you and not to eat or to drink until they had successfully murdered you? But let us remember that Paul was comforted when the Lord stood by him. And whatever we are called to face in our lives, we are safe if the Lord stands by us. And he has promised never to leave us nor forsake him. As we trust in him, we are trusting in his promises that he has made to us. And we can be confident and we can be at peace in that knowledge. And it's delightful for us to see how the Lord used a young person to unfold his plan for Paul's swift deliverance out of danger. Who could have guessed that it would be almost a child, just a youth, who would be commissioned to bring this message to Paul and then ultimately to the chief of the guard? There's a lot of unknowns in this story. Like, how did the young man find out? And there's a couple of ideas that could be suggested here. Maybe he was a student of one of the Sadducees. Who knows? Who knows? What was it that made him tell? Just his affection for his uncle, and yet he probably did not see his uncle very often. And he certainly knew that the Jews were antagonistic towards him. How did he manage to get in to see Paul in the circumstances in which Paul was? And yet there's something lovely about the way in which this episode culminates. Paul came to Jerusalem under the warnings of harm, but we are going to discover that he will be escorted from the city on horse by hundreds of Roman soldiers protecting him. And that is an encouragement for us to live in the moment, trusting the Lord. Not to worry about what the future holds. Not to worry about what is going to happen. Not to worry about the days that lie ahead in an untoward way. In a way that causes us to be stressful or anxious. But to trust in the moment in the Lord. As Peter says, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. I just want to return for a brief moment to that young man. He is Paul's nephew. And if it were not for this episode, we wouldn't even know that Paul had a nephew. But maybe when we are young, we feel as if we don't have very much to offer. And we don't have very much to say. And we really don't have very much that we can do. But you know, that's not so. Because the Lord was pleased to use this young person in order to accomplish the deliverance of the mighty Apostle Paul. And that's a lovely picture that we have set before us here. We may not get to save an apostle, but we can honour the Lord where we are. In our family, in our school, amongst our friends, in the things that we say and do, in our actions, in our attitudes. Do you know that there was a king of Israel, a youth called Josiah, who was only 8 years old when he came to the throne of Israel? But we are told in the Bible, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Imagine being a king at 8 years of age. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that a delightful testimony? Wouldn't we aspire to have that written against our life's work? That we did that which was right in the sight of the Lord? Josiah had a burden to obey the will of the Lord. And obedience to the will of the Lord is to trust in his way of salvation. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is, the way of salvation, who is set before us in the gospel. It is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to put our confidence in him, and to seek to follow him in our life's walk. This youth, we don't know his name, he was just young, like Josiah, just young. But there is a lovely verse or two in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that I want to leave with you. It's verse 14 and 15. And just a couple of things which that teaches us. Paul, as an old man, was writing to another young man. His name was Timothy. And here's what he says to Timothy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's a lovely little verse, and it reminds us that even although we are young, even although we feel as if we don't have much to do or say or contribute, that as we are taught the scriptures, so the Lord is teaching us that we might, in the days that lie ahead in our life, be useful servants of our Saviour, and that these truths that we are learning in our young years are able to make us wise unto salvation as the Lord Jesus Christ gives us faith to trust in him. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us and encourage us in them. Amen.